speaking today with Clarence Bradford, Brad Bradford, who is the first term council member in at-large number 4. Councilman, thank you for talking to me. First question I'd like to ask is, has the experience of serving on city council been what you thought it would be when you first started running for it?
It has. I had the fortunate benefit of having spent a number of years around City Hall as an administrator in Mayor Bob Lanier's term, his administration, and subsequently I've spent time as an administrator in Mayor Brown's administration. So I knew how City Hall worked, and it's today I have found it to be exactly as I thought it would be. Now, there are some things I think should be modified today as I thought should be modified back then for the greater good of the people. But nonetheless, City Hall is City Hall, and for the most part, it's moving forward, and we do get things done.
Is there anything that surprised you?
No, nothing surprised me, because as I said earlier, I had real close relationships with council members in the past and had spent a lot of time in City Hall around the council chambers in past years. So I haven't seen anything that has per se surprised me.
Okay. I think it's fair to say that you've had a interesting relationship so far with Mayor Parker. You've had some disagreements with her on a number of policy points. How would you assess Mayor Parker's first term?
I think the disagreements result in better final decisions. The highest point of knowledge is reasoning, point counterpoint. As a society, if we, as leaders, if we have people who think like we think, who say yes to what we say yes to, and we don't see the opposite point of view, I think every time I say no, it forces somebody else to think real hard about their yes. Every time I say yes, it forces them to think real hard about their no, and vice versa for me. And I think that has worked well. I don't wake up each morning thinking yes or no to Mayor Parker or about Mayor Parker. Mayor Parker worked hard, attended community forums, agendas, beat the bushes, and won the election. She's earned the right to serve in that capacity. I look each week at the agenda, items on the agenda, and talk to constituents or stakeholders around the city of Houston. And more often than not, I see those issues on the agenda the same way as Mayor Parker see those issues on the agenda. I probably would say 95%+ of the stuff that comes across the agenda, probably higher than that. I vote the same way the mayor votes on it. But there are some issues that fundamentally we see differently, and I've expressed those differences during the course of this year and a half period.
All right, fair enough. But would you, if you were to give her a grade on her first term?
I don't believe in grading public servants, having been a long-time public servant myself, in that I know that as a public servant, you're not going to wake up any given day and everything is okay, everything is running smoothly. No public servant, in my view, gets an A. No public servant, because the work isn't done. You cannot finish the work as a public servant, okay? I don't think a public servant wakes up thinking, you know what, I'm going to get everything right today. Some things you're going to get right. Some things you're going to squarely miss the ball on because you made the wrong decision. And other times you're going to just simply make a decision based on what you have in front of you with information and the scenario change. But anyone who has not made a mistake has not made many decisions. I think the mayor and council has grappled with some very, very tough issues that the city of Houston hadn't grappled with since maybe 25 years or so ago. And we're still floating today. For the most part, we are operating in the green, in that we have an operating budget that's represented to be in the green. We still have serious pension issues to be dealt with, serious infrastructure issues to be dealt with, and serious transportation issues has to be dealt with.
Okay, well, let's get into the budget since the council recently passed the mayor's budget. It was passed more or less, not terribly altered from what she initially proposed. What is your assessment of the budget? Are you satisfied with what the city has done?
I think we have to present what is represented to be a balanced budget, no doubt about that. And with the economic condition Houston has encountered today, there's very little to do in the way of the budget. As an example, there are not a lot of ancillary, I would say, resources to be discussed or talked about. It's a really, really tight budget. It becomes a question of how much you're going to cut and where you're going to cut. I have been fortunate, in my view, at least to get a discussion started at City Hall, and we had workshops this year on core services. I believe that that's not just a jargon or a couple words that we should focus on. The purpose of local government is to deliver core services, in my view. And in my view, core services entail garbage, water, infrastructure issues, and safety services. Now, the city of Houston does a number of wonderful things that should be done outside the scope of core services. But the question becomes, how many of those things should we and can we afford to continue doing during these tough economic times? And I think that as we have more discussions at City Hall about what's really, really important. And notice, I'm not flagging any department in line over another department. As an example, I think there are things that are done in the library department and parks department that are just as important as the activities done in police and in the fire services. So after school programs in the library parks department, those are effective crime prevention strategies. They should be funded. They should be staffed just as the Houston Police Department is staffed when it comes to officers and firefighter staffing and things like that.
Can you give me an example of something where you were just talking about? I think a lot of the things the city does that you would consider outside of core services. Can you give me an example of something like that and what perhaps the city should be doing with them instead of what they're doing now?
So I think a more inclusive way of engaging this discussion is to go inside the house, the city of Houston, and look at what is important. And everything that we deem important, that's what we focus on. And what we don't deem as important, well, it's up for reduction or elimination. Now, it's easy to say, don't do this, don't do that. But as an example, there are some things that we're doing, I think, that should be done. But the question is, to what extent, given our economy today? Like, there are a lot of green initiatives that the city has embarked upon. How much of that can we, should we sustain today? Some of the regulations that we aggressively put on businesses today, should we do that? A couple of months ago, the city started a collection entity inside the legal department in the city of Houston to collect outstanding debt. The city is owed about $1 billion in outstanding debt. I don't think in this tough economic time that we are now, the city should be actively competing and spending resources against private sector opportunities. As an example, there are companies out there who are already trained, they have the technology, software, all of that to collect debt. So I didn't see a need, and still don't today see a need, why the city of Houston should go into debt collection business in this tough economic time. We have a contract on board with one vendor. Let's expand that contract to other vendors or tighten that contract up. That's just a couple of examples, I think, of things the city has kind of ventured off into that I think right now, given where we are economically, should we be acquiring the resources, the technology, and training personnel in-house to do a job that private sector, I think, has the expertise and probably will, at the end of the day, wind up doing it much better than we can do it in-house.
The police department is a big part of the city's budget. And safety is about, 67% of the overall budget. It's police and fire. It seems like there's been a lot of talk in recent years about ways of making the way the city does its policing more efficient and more cost-effective. Are you seeing that happening? I mean, since you have the unique perspective of having been HPD chief, do you see any of that happening? And where do you see, or do you see any further opportunities for more of that to happen?
This is what I've tried to do on City Council, and I have been successful in part, is to get the council and mayor away from looking at city departments and look at services. As an example, we started discussions about core services. There are some things in the Houston Police Department that are at the heart of the very reason why it exists. There are some other things that it is doing that I think needs to be subjected to greater scrutiny. When we were going through each department, having those directors come in and explain, define, and justify each service delivery strategy, the mayor issued a memo saying each department would be required to cut their budget by X percentage. Well, what that did, that stifled the discussions about core services, in that all of a sudden each department director said, you know what, my boss has told me just to cut it by X percentage, and I give you specific percentages, like the police department was given by the mayor a percentage of cut your budget by 5%. Well, as opposed to the police chief having unilateral authority to just determine where he or she is going to cut their budget by an arbitrary percentage number, I would rather have gone through those discussions about, chief, what are you doing and why are you doing it, and the impact on safety services in our city, and then let the policymakers, who are the city council members and the mayor, have some input in what the cuts are going to be. As an example, once the chief was given that 5% cut, you know what the chief focused on? Cutting 5%. Now, we may have determined the department could have cut 7% or 8% or even maybe only 2%. But all they got lost once there was an edict of you will cut 5%. So I think that we need to get back to those departments and scrub the departments, looking at the services that they are provided and how those services impact the quality of life in the city of Houston. Do that for each city department. And that way, we have, from a policy standpoint, what services are going to be reduced, what services are going to be impacted. From a global standpoint, that council has been a part of that decision, as opposed to each individual department director decided. As an example, the library department makes a decision to close certain libraries or cut certain hours. Mm-hmm. Well, the police chief makes a decision to take helicopters out of the air. You know, each city department director that's not directly responsible to the public gets to make these service reduction and elimination decisions without any consideration for the broad global impact of what's happening. I want Dr. Lawson, director of the library department, to know that her after-school programs are just as important as putting police officers in the police academy. And to some instances, in my view, it's more important, because an ounce of prevention, keeping those boys and girls out of crime, is more important and more effective than police officers arresting them after the fact.
Okay. You also mentioned pensions as a long-term financial issue. How do you see that going?
Well, clearly we have three pension systems in the city: the municipal employees, pension, the firefighters, and the police officers. I mean, it's not disputed that the pensions have a financial issue that has to be dealt with, in that additional resources has to be put into the system, or the system has to be revamped, or a combination of both. It is time that we engage in a discussion with those being impacted, civilian employees, the firefighters, and the police officers, along with competent, reliable experts in the area of annuities, pensions, actuaries, and all of that stuff, to sit down and have a competent discussion and say to the young employees, and by young I mean 5 years or less, if something doesn't change where you're headed, you're not going to have an annuity to draw. So for your benefit, let's sit down and have a discussion about modifying this process. So 15, 20, 25 years from now, 30 years from now, there's something that those young officers, firefighters, and civilian employees, that they are paying into something. It's not going to end up like a lot of people say Social Security has gotten to a point of.
Okay. One place where you have publicly disagreed with the mayor on is with the Renew Houston proposition, that now known as Rebuild Houston. You publicly opposed it before the election. What is your opinion on Rebuild Houston as it stands right now?
Well, I have not opposed the mayor on the issue of the city has a flooding and drainage problem, and there's a serious need to fix it, and there needs to be a dedicated funding source or some type of fee to fix that. She and I are not opposite on that. I was one of the first people around the council table to put in writing that I supported a drainage fee, and that we need to put a process in place to determine how we're going to do that. This is where I part ways. There are many things now, even today, that are highly controversial about the proposed drainage fee that could have and should have been resolved up front. As an example, some of us on council tried unsuccessfully, very desperately, to work out the aspects of an implementation ordinance before the vote to give people an idea more clearly what they were voting on. And all of what we said have, for the most part, proven to be true. As an example, I knew that it would be highly controversial, the exemption thing. Who should be exempt? Why they exempt and why not? We could have and should have resolved that before the vote. Now, it doesn't matter what side of the equation you're on, whether you're on the exemption side for churches and schools or not. I think we could have and should have resolved that before the vote, because I knew it was going to be contentious at best. Had we done that, the voters would have had a clear picture of what they were voting on. Point two, what was going to be considered impervious surfaces? I knew that was going to be controversial, and we could have and should have decided that before the vote. Some people don't believe oyster shell driveways, gravel driveways, and swimming pools should be considered impervious. We could have decided these things before the vote. Another point, some of us knew and said on the record that $5 per month average was wrong. We did the math. It wouldn't come out to $5. But our voice was not heard strong enough. So we went forward and we got to vote. And I stepped up just before the election and said, you know what? There are too many areas that are controversial, that are unclear, that we need to resolve before the vote. That's why I stepped up and opposed it. And sure enough, as we sit here today, guess what? I think many more people agree today that the $5 fee was wrong. What's impervious service is still controverted to some extent, and the exemptions, some of them have been granted. So that is where I stood back then. That is where I stand today. And I say clearly for the record, Houston has a drainage flooding problem that must be addressed, and we need a dedicated fee to correct it. And whether the Prop 1 issue is going to move forward and reveal itself as the vehicle to fix it, it probably will. But if we don't do that, to simply do nothing is not a responsible thing to do.
All right, thank you. The other contentious issue that was on the ballot last year, of course, was the red light cameras, which the voters said they wanted taken down. Did you vote for or against that proposition? Did you vote to keep the red light cameras or to take them down?
City Council voted to...
I understand. When you went to the ballot box, which one, did you vote to keep them or to take them down?
Let me say it this way. I think that when people go in the ballot box, how they vote, that's confidential for a reason, okay? Because what I do as an elected official, as I'm talking on the record now, I have an obligation and duty to represent not my personal point of view. What I go into the ballot box and do is a very personal thing. What I do, like this for everyone, what I do as a public official and the positions I take, this is a representative form of government. I have a duty and an obligation to represent the will of the people, thus in a majority sense, okay? Now, it doesn't matter my personal opinion or how I voted individually when I went in the ballot. Unlike the drainage fee where some people contend they were confused, it was not clear, it was ambiguous, etc. On the red light camera issue, it was no dispute. It was pretty clear the language and what people were voting on. And it's undisputed that a far majority of the people, 181,000, voted that they said, no, they don't want the cameras on. Now, having said that, I support the red light camera technology. I think the technology can be used as a safety enhancement measure. I have serious concerns how the cameras have been installed here in Houston. Now, Judge Hughes has ruled what he has ruled. But where it all gets distorted is, Judge Hughes never ruled that the cameras must be turned on. He never ruled the cameras must be turned off. He never said that. That is a city decision whether they should be on or off.
And do you support the mayor's decision to leave them on pending resolution of the contract issues?
I can't answer that question because the mayor has not extended the courtesy of explaining why she made her decision to turn them on. Now, what I know about the cameras being turned back on, one, I'll say this, I do not believe the mayor had the authority or has the authority today to make a unilateral decision to turn those cameras back on, okay? I think there should have been a council discussion and a council decision given the advice of the city attorney. The city attorney should have briefed council. This is where we are. These are the options. Now council needs to make a decision what we're going to do. To make the unilateral decision to turn them back on, I think was not the proper way to do it. Now, whether it's the right thing to do or not, I haven't heard the rationale behind that decision. I think that at some point, the will of the voters must prevail.
So would you support then the city finding a settlement with the camera company to turn the cameras off? Or do you think they should stay on through the remainder of the contract?
We need a discussion to answer that question. As an example, I'm an attorney, and I've looked at some aspects of this issue. But I'm not going to sit and tell you that I know every aspect of the issue, because I don't go to court when Mr. Feldman and the city attorney's office is in court or arguing positions in court. I don't know what happens in court. They're in a better position. So I would need to have a briefing as to where we stand as a city, where we stand from a liability standpoint, what representations have been made in court, and then I'm in a better position to draw some conclusions about what is the best position for the city to be in pending the litigation. But understand again now, whether the cameras stay on or off isn't necessarily, in my view, an issue that ought to be litigated. We have a contract, and it's my understanding that there is a termination for convenience clause in the contract. See, I don't know whether the city attorney's office has exercised the option of the termination for convenience clause as we see it today. When the voters said no in November of last year, one of the things that should have happened is clearly the city attorney at that point, having seen the will of the people, should have exercised a termination of convenience notice. So therefore, today, all would have been a dispute would have been the months where the cameras were off in the past before we exercised a termination of convenience notice. But I think everything is still disputed right up through today.
Okay.
See, these are some of the kind of things that I don't have information that would lead me to make a decision on the question which you posed.
All right. What sorts of things do you want to be working on in your next 2 years of office, assuming the voters return you to office in November? You've talked some about looking at the budget from a perspective of city services versus departments. What else would you like to be working on over the next 2 years?
There are some things council will be required to work on. And I've been around City Hall a little bit, and I've acquired experience in certain areas. And I want to continue to draw my experience and look at public safety issues, infrastructure issues, and transportation issues. We're going to have to simply look real closely at our spending at City Hall. When I say reduce spending at City Hall, those are not just catch words and phrases. Texas and Houston are doing better than many other areas across America. But I do not believe that we've hit the bottom of our sluggishness yet. I think that we still have tough times ahead of us. I could be wrong. I hope I am. But I think our next budget that we'll put together at City Hall will be as tough as this budget, if not tougher. So we need to really, really, really prepare to go further with those discussions on core services. What are core services and what can we really afford to do? It makes it easier if we know and have some consensus concerning what are core services, what are the things that the city of Houston must do, and what are those things that we would like to do, because they've been nice and some things that should be done, but maybe we cannot afford to do those things. If we get to the point where we have to cut, I don't want to just arbitrarily cut city employees. I want to look at all of the departments. Now, HPD has a $680 million budget. Well, another department may have a $10 million budget. And to tell a small department, you know, you cut 10% at HPD, 5%, well, you're not doing a lot in the way of revenue savings there. I almost scrub through the big departments as well as the small departments and see what services we can reduce or eliminate to help generate additional revenue that way, as opposed to new fines, fees, and permanent requirements. Generally speaking, I'm opposed to new fees, new taxes, and new permit requirements in this tough economy. Because too many businesses are struggling already, citizens as well. I think we're starting to force businesses into Harris County, into Sugar Land, into Richmond, Pearland, Missouri City. We're starting to force businesses to a position where they have to make a decision. Are they going to continue to be overly burdened, in my view, by city's permitting requirements, fees, and taxes? Or are we going to provide some relief to those businesses? We went through one day of city council where we voted to raise, as a council, fees in 150 categories in one single day. And I've asked today, I still have not received, the justification for raising those fees. I don't think it just should arbitrarily raise fees. And if you say you did an analysis and you look at 150 different categories, you mean there's not a single category where we saw we could reduce a fee or eliminate a fee? I think not. I'm not certain that an analysis was done. I think that there are areas where it's permissible, where citizens have options, like toll fees. I support toll road fees. There's a discussion now at City Hall about the permitting process. If vendors want to pay a premium fee to get their application process faster for a permit, fine. I support that, as long as we have infrastructure in place to provide services to those people in a reasonable amount of time who don't have the money, who do not want to pay the premium fee. And to just be clear, if it normally takes 30 days to process a fee, if you pay an additional amount, they'll process it in 10 days or 15 days. That's the way the discussion is going. And I support that type of thing, as long as there's enough infrastructure in place to not just backlog everybody who's not willing to pay the premium. So I'm not opposed categorically to fees. I want to make sure that we look at areas where people have options. If I want to pay a fee to get a premium library card or something like that, I support things like that.
All right. There have been some talk in months past that you might be thinking about running for mayor, not this year, but sometime in the future. Is that still something you're thinking about?
I like public service, and what I'm going to do down the road in public service, one doesn't know, and I certainly don't know. I can tell you years past, before I was selected as police chief, I don't remember too many days waking up thinking I'm going to be police chief in Houston, Texas. I don't remember many days thinking I'm going to run for district attorney. And I don't remember many days thinking I was going to run for Houston City Council at large. But what I do enjoy is public service and trying to make a difference for the greater good of all. So how I'm going to pursue or continue to serve in the way of public service in the future, I'm not sure. In a lot of aspects, it's about opportunities, okay? But I will say this, I intend to do additional public service work here in the Houston-Harris County area.
All right. And when voters go to the ballot box this November, why should they vote to reelect you to at-large number four?
I can proudly go to Acres Homes, Meyerland, Greenspoint, Clear Lake, Kingwood, Third Ward, Sunnyside, South Park, you name it. Any and every neighborhood, I can walk in that neighborhood and look citizens squarely in the eye and say, I have held true to the values and principles that I expressed to you when I came to you and asked for your vote the last time around. And I'm coming back to you again asking you to send me back to City Hall based on my experience, based on my voting record. I'm proud of my record. I stand by my voting record. I think I have represented the will of the people that sent me there, and I will say this too, in not every aspect, because you can't please everybody all the time. It just doesn't work like that. But I've tried to do is balance issues. I look at the district council person on issues. Where is the district council person on a particular issue? I look at super neighborhood council presidents, homeowners association presidents, city club presidents, and other business leaders and reputable citizens being impacted by those particular issues. I make my phone calls, I do my inquiries, and based on a majority input, I try to take that position and move forward. So I would ask voters to, you know, look at my record and send me back to City Hall to continue being the voice at City Hall, which says that businesses are struggling, it is tough on citizens. Now is not the time to bring about new fees, taxes, and permitting requirements. and try to look at city employees and try to, in the midst of all of this, do what's right for city employees. Despite what some people think, most city employees are paid a de minimis amount of money. They work very hard. They care about the city. And they really do come in each day and try to make a difference. And we need to, at some point, look at how can we increase the work environment, tools, equipment, benefits, and compensation for those employees. I don't see a way to do it today, but it's an issue on the table that we have to be concerned about. One more issue as it relates to city employees. I think we made a misstep when we did not look at what many other cities have done, which is look at a certain pay grade, and I recommend it, pay grade 26, midpoint and above, which is about $65,000 and up. Everybody making $65,000 and up. Let those people do a furlough every other month, one day, to save other city employees' jobs. I don't think anyone making $80,000 a year, if you said, look, every other month, you have to take one day without paying, or you stand a chance of losing your job. I think the option would be clear. They would take a furlough every other month. Now, according to the city finance department director, if we were to do that, that would save about $24 million, it would. That could save a lot of city personnel jobs had we done that. The mayor opted not to do that. But I think that as we move forward, we're going to have to consider all options that are viable, that are put on the table to deal with our financial issues. So from a city employee standpoint, I'm going to continue to push looking at options like that.
All right. Councilmember Radford, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.